First and foremost, again, we've been mentioning it's Mother's Day, and if you didn't know that, I'd be surprised if you didn't know it when you came in, let alone after as many times as it's been mentioned. But I want for the mothers to please stand and be recognized and honored today. Would you please do that? Mothers? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, moms, for all that you are and all that you do, for the blessing you are. Pronounce blessings upon you, too. Have a seat. We're so glad that you are here. Brad McFaul, a minister friend of mine, recently noted that since 1 John 4:8 says God is love, then he must have put the best that he has and is into a mother's heart. And isn't it a remarkable thing when you think about it? That the very first person we lay eyes on in this life is one who represents and displays the essential nature of God, mothers, and the love and the comfort that they offer. Isn't that interesting? The very first person. So God gives us life, and He grants us the blessing of life, and He grants us the blessing of mothers. We're continuing in this series entitled Conversations with Christ, and I want to call attention today to Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, in a lesson I prepared for today. I'm calling In Mother's Arms. I want you to listen closely first to the opening lines of the text in Luke 7. It tells us there that Jesus went to a town called Nain, and His disciples and a large crowd went along with Him. And as He approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of His mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. Now, I'd like for you to watch the rest of the scene depicted in this brief video clip.
Young man, I say unto thee, arise.
A great prophet is risen up among us. God hath visited His people.
I've tended to picture the mother in this text as being an older woman, and the son who had passed away as being an adult. But the scripture doesn't really tell us. It really doesn't tell us the age of the mother or the child. Maybe the conjecture that she was older is because she was a widow, but she could have just as easily have been a young widow who had lost a small child. At first glance, you know, at the text and even watching the video, it might not be that apparent to us about the conversation going on Yet the mother from Nain was communicating loud and clear before she ever spoke a word. Her tears spoke volumes, didn't they? I dare say that her body language did as well. Traditionally, mourners and perhaps a musician playing a dirge on a flute or a harp would line streets ahead of a funeral procession. And the family would follow behind the pallbearers. And though there were a lot of people, evidently, that showed up that day to show their respects and offer support, this woman had no family of her own. No husband, no children to lean on. She walks alone, slowly behind her son's body. And again, before she ever utters a word, her mournful message is intuitively received by Jesus the Messiah. Jesus' response to her grief is brief. Our text says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry," or in the video, "Weep not." Don't cry. Now, that would be a lot easier said than done, we would think, in those circumstances. But once Jesus says something, it's as good as done. For he next speaks to her son. Remember, her dead son. And says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And guess what? Somehow, he hears the voice of Jesus. Somehow, the words of the living God penetrate the realm of the departed souls. And the young man hears, and he does as he's told. He gets up. He gets up. Now, I don't know what all he said, but the text tells us, actually, in verse 15, that the dead man sat up and began to talk right away. In the video clip, he just said, "Mother," but he began to talk. It seems like he had a lot to say. And wouldn't you think he would have a lot to say? He'd have a lot to talk about, I guarantee it. I'd be surprised if he didn't personally thank Jesus right then and there and praise him every day thereafter for the rest of his life. I love the next line. Jesus gave him back to his mother. I love that line. Think on that a moment. It wasn't as if Jesus handed a baby into her arms. Yet in a tender moment, Jesus' gesture communicates so clearly that through the eyes of faith, I believe you can see as I can yet today, as Jesus ushers him into his mother's arms. It would not surprise me at all if both of them didn't cry then. No tears of grief, though. Now it's tears of joy. I was reminded this past week, and again even this morning, of a woman who was in our assembly on Mother's Day last year who wept because she longed to be a mother, but her prayer seemed to be unanswered. Today she weeps again, but for quite another reason. It's not tears of grief or sadness. She holds the baby in her arms that she believes with all of her heart is a gift from God. Amen? Amen. And I could not help, as we were beginning our service today, little Molly Joy had the hiccups. She had the hiccups. And I just kind of tickled in my heart and smiling and laughing, you know. And I thought, you know, there had been some hiccups as we waited and we prayed and we wondered. But what beautiful hiccups this morning, amen? Beautiful hiccups. What a joy. What a joy. This mother is singing praises to God today, amen? And guess what? The reason I really couldn't help but share that, I mean, it's on my heart to do, is that so many of you, I know you have even approached her this morning. And I but this is what the mother of Nain and her son did. See, once again, they're together. The tears of grief turn to tears of joy and praise. And praise. I want you to see that. Evidently, they led a praise service. And others joined in. Now, we don't know the tune, but the lyrics have been preserved for us. A great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people. Wow. Obviously, see, they saw Jesus as representing and moving in the power of God. I mean, after that conversation with Jesus, how could anyone responsibly deny who he was? In fact, the scripture tells us in verse 17, the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Wow. God had come to help his people. And that was more true than perhaps they recognized or realized at that time. Though the good news about Jesus spread, that they were still honoring him more as a prophet, just another prophet, even though a great prophet, but they weren't giving him all the honor he was due. He was being lumped in with a host of prophets from the past. But he was more, much, much more than just another prophet. God truly had come to help his people. God had truly come to help his people. And there would be those who would become more and more aware of that reality and that fact as time progressed. To all mothers in our assembly today, and to all those who may hear my voice later online after this lesson is posted, I have a couple of words for you. Jesus has a special place in his heart for you. His heart goes out to you. He's aware of your service and your sacrifice for your children. He's also keenly aware of every fear you have ever had or every tear you have ever cried for your children out of loving concern. And not only do we honor mothers today, I believe Jesus himself does. When he uses the image of a mother's loving protection and comfort to illustrate his own heart, in Luke 13:34, he declared how he longed to gather God's children as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Jesus uses that image. Perhaps there was no image to better display and impress upon their hearts his heart for them. But he longed to embrace them. Longed to help them by gathering them into his arms. Over a month ago, when I first began to pray about today's message, and I was talking to a pastor friend, another one this weekend, about how Mother's Day is, it's difficult sometimes as a pastor, especially if you're doing Mother's Day sermons year after year after year for a number of years. It's like, okay, now, what do I do this year? What do I share this year? What do I present? And though my goal and my desire is always to, you know, lift up mothers and have it be a really day of celebration and just joy, and it should be, and it can be for everyone, it really can. As we rejoice with those who rejoice, we also mourn with those who mourn, and I just couldn't help again being overwhelmed, overcome in the past couple of weeks as I've been comforting a widow whose son only passed away just a few weeks ago. And I've been visiting a mother in a hospice situation whose children are rising up and caring for her as she cared for them throughout her life. So for mothers who mourn today, or children who are having a difficult time today because of the sadness that can be overwhelming for them at this time, whether it's because you can't be with your children, mothers, if you can't be with them for one reason or another, you're separated by physical or emotional distance, or death itself. I want you to know Jesus' heart goes out to you. He's touched by your grief. And for children, see, who can't be with their mothers for similar reasons, or whose moms are going through very difficult times now, and they're finding the roles reversed, and they're having to be the children who are being like mothers to their mothers. His heart goes out to you as well. And he offers comfort. In Psalm 68, it says that God is a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. His dwelling is holy. He places the lonely in families. He sets prisoners free and gives them joy. Think about that. Consider that a minute. How could it be that God, that Jesus, God in the flesh, could turn grief into joy? Could bring such comfort and such protection and such provision to someone who is mourning and grieving, to widows and orphans? How could that be? He brings them joy. He sets them free. Free from what? Free from that burden of grief. Free from that, if you will, overwhelming captivity of their sadness. He can do that. How can he turn a heart of grief into a heart of joy? Ask the mother of Nain. She could tell you how he did it for her, at least. I don't know how long she mourned for her son. He may have been ill for some time. There may have been estrangement due to choices or circumstances that had come between them. That's possible. We don't know much about their relationship before. Though Jewish custom encouraged quick burials, he'd obviously been dead for more than just a few hours, since the procession is on its way to the tomb or the grave. I'm sure her eyes were red and swollen by the time of that procession. Yet Jesus was moved to intervene in order for her son to be returned to her arms. And I believe his desire is to restore children to mothers today, and mothers to children. And through faith in him, that's not only possible, it can be a reality one day. No matter what has separated us, that Jesus has power to restore and reconcile families and even mothers and children, even those who've departed. Because we're promised that through faith in Christ, even those who are asleep now in the Lord are with him, and we will be with him one day, and we'll be together forever. Oh, how does grief then turn to joy? With that knowledge, that understanding, and that reality. In the meantime, I remind you of Isaiah 66:13, where we hear from the Lord's own lips, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. That might not mean much to some people, but I dare say the concept is clear to most, and perhaps, really, if they think about it, to all. Even if they've not personally experienced a relationship with a loving mother, they understand that in this life, there's perhaps no more comforting place than one could ever be than in their mother's arms. No more comforting place in this life. At Carpenter's Place this past week, we were talking about some memories and sharing some memories that people had of their moms. And one young man told me that he didn't even know who his mom was. And he was grieving and saddened that he didn't have that mother image, that comfort. But yet, you know what he said? God's blessed me to have some ladies in my life, some women in my life have treated me with comfort and kindness and love that I consider to be mothers. Many of you have been that to those who've not had the comfort of a physical mother in their life. But to be wrapped in mother's arms is a comforting place. It's a comforting thing. And there is no greater place, unless, of course, it's resting in the arms of Jesus, as we sang earlier, in those arms of love. The Lord Himself once asked, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne?" He says, "Though she may forget, I will not forget you. I will not forget you." You may feel forgotten today. You may feel forsaken. You may feel that there's prayers that you've been praying and comfort you've been looking for, and it's not been forthcoming. And you've been grieving, and you've been mourning, and you don't think there's any hope of that ever changing. But in Jesus, hallelujah, it can, and it will, if we put our confidence and our faith and trust in Him. God hasn't forgotten you. Jesus hasn't forsaken you. He's just ready for us to call out, for us to recognize and realize how desperately we need Him as the only one who can bring restoration, reconciliation, healing, hope, and comfort. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You in Jesus' name for the comfort that You have given to so many of us in family, and particularly with our mothers. I want to thank You for the wonderful examples that so many of us have had of the kind of love and comfort and peace and shelter that You want to provide for us. I thank You for the gift of mothers. And Father, we're aware, though, painfully aware, as You are, because You have that heart for those widows and the orphans, for the childless, and those who don't know the joy and the pleasure of mother's arms. You know, and You have a heart for them, and Your heart goes out to them. May our hearts go out to them too. And may we as a church family encircle them and embrace them too, and let them know that not only do You love them, we love them. We found comfort in Your arms. We found comfort in the arms of others. But God, may we find comfort in the knowledge that Jesus gave His life, that we can have life eternal. Thank You, we praise You. In Jesus' name, and those who agree say, amen.